Okay, we're going to start here with the Mishnah on the bottom. Gimel Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, Kohanim v'Levim turim mikal v'chomer. Kohanim and Levim are patur mikal v'chomer. Right now it's not clear what exactly they're patur from. Rashi says, Sakodatcho peter chamor. We're talking about the peter chamor of a Kohen, a peter chamor of a Levi, that we can be poter them from a kal v'chomer. Im pitru et shel Yisrael b'midbar, if they were able to take care of the behemot Yisraelim in the midbar, then isn't it dinhu shiftiru et shel atzmam? Shouldn't they certainly be able to take care of themselves? I mean, if they're able to remove the kedusha from others, then certainly they should be able to remove the kedusha or not worry about the kedusha that's associated with themselves. And that's because it's written by Midbar Perek Gimel Pasuk Mem Aleph Lekachat et Levim Li Ani Hashem Tachat Kol Bechor B'Bnei Yisrael Ve'et Behemat HaLevim Tachat Kol Bechor B'Behemat B'Nei Yisrael. So there is this idea that in Midbar there was an exchange between the Levim and the Bechorim, but not only by Bechor Adam, but also by Bechor Behema. So where it says, Inhu Patre, wait a minute, they weren't the ones who were Poter, the Peter Chamor. It wasn't that they exchanged the Levi for the Peter Chamor, but rather, Adam Patar, human beings took care of human beings, and Behema Patra. Dichtiv, and that's the pasuk that we just read. Kach et alevim tachat bechor b'bnei Yisrael ve'et behemat alevim tachat behemtam. One part of the exchange was the part that exchanged the human beings for human beings, and the other one was the part that exchanged the behemot for behemot. It's written in Memhei again. Kach et alevim tachat kol bechor b'bnei Yisrael ve'et behemat alevim tachat behemtam. Ve'yuldi le'avim ani Hashem. So read you Mem Aleph, Mem Hey, same type of pasuk, but there is a exchange that every Levi exchanged out or took out the kedusha of a Bechor Yisrael, and every behema of Levim took out the behema of a Yisrael that was a Bechor.
What is that?
Right, so it's a good question. So Gemara is going to have to deal with that. So Amar Bai. So Achi Kamar. So how do we read our Mishnah now? Kohanim v'Levim turim behemtam mikal v'chomer. It's not that the Kohanim Levim themselves are patur, but rather they're animals, mikal v'chomer. Im hifkia behemtam shel Levim behema shel Yisrael. If their kedushat of the regular behemot of Levim were able to be exchanged for the Bechor that had kedushah for Yisrael, then enu, isn't there a din that they should be able to take care of their own behemot? Right, so din hu shetavkia de shel atzman. So way Abai reads the Mishnah is relating to the behemot, that there was an exchange. The Levim had a whole bunch of behemot, and those behemot exchanged out any Bechor behema in Klal Yisrael. But then Rava says, Emelei Rava, Ba patru. In our Mishnah it says, Kohanim v'Levim p'turim mikal v'chomer im pitru et Yisrael. Now pitru over here does not sound like they're talking about the behema. It sounds like they themselves were poter. So that's inu k'tani. Now we don't have the... Right, so there you have a problem in the Lashon. So now he says, pitru means inu k'tani. Vote. And you have a secondary problem, which is im ita afilu mi bechor behema teora niftiru. And then, if you say, if your kal v'chomer is right, that means that not only is a Levi and Kohen patur from peter chamor, not only patur from pidyon ben, but they should also be patur from bechor behema teora. And that's not true. Alam otanan. Why do we have the mission that says lo niftiru mi bechor behema teora oim bitvon ben u peter chamor? When it comes to peter chamor and pidyon ben, they are patur. When it comes to Bechor Behema Torah, they are not Pturim. The reason is easy to understand why, is because Peter Chamor and Pidyon Aben are exactly that. They're Pidyon. They're redemption. So in that, they can be Ptur. When it comes to Behema Torah, that Behema ends up on the Mizbeach. It's Behema Tam. And the Behema Tam, even for Yisrael, ends up on the Mizbeach. It's only a Baal Mum that's kept by the Kohen. So why should the Kohen and Levi be Ptur from Behema Torah? Behema Torah has to end up on the Mizbeach, just like everybody else's Behema. So Rava says, from based on the way you're reading the Mishnah seems to indicate that not only the patur from Peter Chamor, but they're also patur from Behema Tehora, which is just not true. So Elam Rav, Omar Rava Hachiktani. So this is the way to read it. Kohanim vilivim patur hein atzman mikal v'chomer. So here you see the amended version of Rava's view of the Mishnah. Through Hain Atzmam, not Shel Yisrael, which was what you commented before was a problem in the Mishnah. It doesn't read well. So the way he has it set up now, then it makes more sense. Goanim ani paturim ein atzman mikal v'chomer. Im ifkia kedushatan shel levim, kedushat shel Yisrael b'midbar. If the levim themselves were exchanged for Yisrael in the midbar, lo ifkia tet shel atzman, certainly should take care of themselves, meaning they shouldn't have to do pidyon haben. So what does this have to do with but by Adam? So right, so that's the next line of the Gemara. Ashkechan Adam, behemah tmeah, minolon. So how do you know that a behemah tmeah is also included in this? I mean, that's very nice, and exactly what you're saying, that it doesn't really fit into the flow of the Mishnayot here. So why would you mention Bechor Adam if you just came out of Petr Chamor? So the Gemara says, oh, that's because we have a posuk in Bamidbar Yudchet, which is called Peter Rechem the Chol Basar Sheyakriv LaShem Badam Uvameima Yelach Ach Podo Tifdeh Bechor Adam Et Bechor Habeima Tmeya Tifdeh. There's a hekesh between Behema Tmeya and Bechor Adam, and therefore the Mishnah here is bringing down what's true of Adam, and then we're going to say Behema Tmeya Minol and Amakra Ach Podo Tifdeh Bechor Adam Et Bechor Behema Tmeya Tifdeh Kol Sheyesh No Bechor Adam Yesh No Bechor Behema Tmeya. So that will answer your question, is what's the relevance of this Mishnah? This Mishnah tells you who's chayav in Bechor Behema Atmeya. Because you have to be chayav in Bechor Adam in order to be chayav in Bechor Behema Atmeya. So if you're patur from Pidyon Haben, you're also patur from Pidyon Peter Chamor. And that's why maybe this Mishnah is found in the sequence of Mishnayot that started out with talking about Peter Chamor. Now the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Safra le Abaye, li adidach da amart, that you, according to you, Abaye, who says, behemtam, that the Mishnah is talking about their animals, the exchange for their animals, let me ask you a question. Ben Levi da havale se. Ben Levi, who had a se in the midbar, da afko, and therefore his animal was able to take away the kedusha of some animal belonging to Israel. Lifko. So then he should be patur. He should be out of the parsha of giving Bechor. Deloha b'leiseh, another Levi who happened not to have a seh, and therefore he made no exchange, lo lifka. So then he shouldn't be patur from Bechor. Because you're saying to me that it's a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer works this way. If his behemot could take care of the behemot of Israel, then certainly he should be able to take care of himself. But that's only true if he had behemot. That's only true if he had a seh to do the exchange. And from the Gemara over here, it sounds like the word is the seh. The seh is what you exchange a peter chamor for. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara over here. We're going to see on the second half of the daf today that it's not clear what the Gemara is talking about here, whether the Gemara is only talking about peter chamor or it's talking about more broadly about all behemot. When they did the exchange in the midbar, was it only that every seh took care of a chamor, which would seem to make the most sense, and the Gemara flows easier, but Rashi seems to be saying it in the Amud Bet, and Tosfot says it here, over here as well, that Masha Pitru, Beimat Levim Shel Yisrael Ben Tmeya Ben Tohora. That when we talked about Bnei Yisrael, it's talking about both Beimat Tohora and Tmeya. Beimat Tachad Beim Tam Nafka. We learned that in the later half of today's daf, that one of their behemot took care of multiple behemot of Yisrael, and that includes Ben Tmeya Ben Tohora. So why did they mention Seh over here? Seh seems to indicate that we're dealing with a Behema Tmeya. Could just say that was an example. Just note that throughout the daf here, it's not clear what it meant when we said that their behemot took care of the behemot Israel. The simplest reading of the Gemara is that it only took care of the Petar Chamor of the Israel, the Seh of the Kohen took care of, whereas it seems to be from some of the Rishonim that it includes much more than that.
Well, I don't see in general, they say, Shevet Levi, their animals
are there. That would seem to be the simplest solution, which is the Gemara will get there in the end. That's where the Gemara will end up. But the Gemara segregates between the Levim in the Midbar and the Levim the Dorot. So when it comes to Levim the Dorot, nobody's going to suggest that only someone who was born to a Levi who had a Behemah in the Midbar is Patur. So everybody agrees that after that generation, that's not the case. The question is, that generation itself in the Midbar, what's their status? Are they Patur or not Patur? And to that, that's I think where the Gemara is grappling over here. There's a possibility that only Levim there in the Midbar who had Behemot would be Patur. So that's number one question for Abaye. Then he says, in addition to that, I have a question both on you and the Rova. So that is, Ben Lididach, Ben the Rova, Ben Chodesh, the Afka, Livka. Only a Levi who is over the age of 1 month should be then patur from Pidyon Haben and from Pidyon Peter Chamor, because he's qualified to be a Levi, and he exchanged out of Yisrael. On the other hand, Pachod mi Ben Chodesh, so anybody who was under a month, the Alafka, that he didn't exchange for anybody else, Lo Lifka, then he shouldn't be able to be Poter himself. So that's number two question. Number three, Livia Lo Tifka. In addition to that, a woman who is a Livia, or a Kohenet, then she should not be able to be Poter from Pidyon HaBen. Alama, why do we have a statement by Amar Rav Adarava, Livia, Shielda, B'na Patur Mechamesh Slaim? A Livia was married to Israel. This is a Bat Levi, or a Bat Kohen, was married to Israel. They are Pturim from Pidyon HaBen. But according to you, the setup, or the structure in the Midbar was whoever was Poder, someone else, should be able to be Poter. So why is it here that this Bat Levi and this Bat Kohen are able to be Poter? They weren't a part of the exchange. So Halo Kasho, that's not a question. It sounds like it. We're going to see in a second that it's not Rashi and Tosafot and the Rebbeinu Gershom argue about this. Lo Kasho, Kedemar Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei Derobot. Damar, Peterechem, says, by the din by Bechor is determined by Peterechem. Peterechem, Tala Rachmano. Peterechem is what determines or what governs over here. Since that governs over here, therefore what? So that's what the question is. Rashi says that this answer actually cumulatively answers both of the last two questions. The question of Ben Chodesh, as well as the question of Peterechem by the Leviyah. And that's because Rashi says it's a somewhat of a circular logic. But Rashi says that based on the statement of Radarava that we know that a child who is born to a Bat Leviyah is Patur from Pidyon HaBen. Well, if that's true, that shows us that it can't be that somebody who's under a Ben Chodesh is not relevant, because what was the determining factor over here? The determining factor over here was Peterechem. Why would a child who's under a Ben Chodesh be Patur in the Midbar? Must be because his mother was a Leviyah, because it's Talui b'Peterechem, not Talui with the age of the child. Well, if that's the case, if it's determined by Peterechem, then I also know that a Bat Levi in the Midbar is also Poter. So the logic is somewhat circular, because the only reason I know that the Ben Chodesh is okay is because of the statement of Rav Abba. How does he know that? Because he says it's Talui b'Peterechem. And then I'm saying now, well, if the Ben Chodesh is determined by the Peterechem, his mother, then so too the mother is determined by Peterechem. And that's why both Leviya and Pachat b'Ben Chodesh are Turim, because it's all about Peterechem. So that's the answer that Rashi says. Rashi says it answers the latter two questions. Tosafot and the Rabbeinu Gershom say that's not the case, but that rather this is only answering the last question, which is what it seems to be, which is about a Leviya. How come a Leviya is included, or why is she Poter? The answer is because it's Talui b'Peterechem. So I'll read you the Tosafot. You can read it. The Rabbeinu Gershom, Leviya hi mishevet shepatur min ha-bechora. Leviya derives, this is from the Rabbeinu Gershom, that she is patur from the Bechora. She lo hayta hi zachar. Had she been a male, vaya bechor haya patur, then she would, and she was a bechor, she'd be patur. Abina nami ba me'oto rechem. Her child that comes from that same womb, shaya patur min ha-bechora im hayta zachar. That's enough. That's not really clear. I tell you, the Rabbeinu Gershom and Tosafot say the same thing. It's still not very clear why that is. Meaning that if you're going to make this decision based on what happened in the Midbar, and therefore only the Zecharim who had Behemot, or who exchanged, should be Patur, why is it, even if the Torah says that the determining factor of who is a Bechor is a Peterechem, that still doesn't say that the mother, who is a Leviyah, should be able to be Poter? Yes, her Peterechem makes the individual into a Bechor, but that doesn't mean that she's also the one who governs with regards to whether you're Patur or not Patur. That could be determined by the Zachar. Why you also move over the din of who is the determining factor to Peterechem is all as well. It's not so clear. But both of them say something similar. Rabbeinu Gershom, as well as the Tosafot, says the same thing. L'gamrei mitartza b'shnuya de Peterechem b'ben Levi shu pachot mi ben chodesh imbo mishum griuta mashu pachot mi ben chodesh. Baruch ben Levi. We came into Peterechem talarachmana mashu ben Levi mishavinu Levi v'afu pishen aviv Levi. So that the fact that is that he is determined, he's classified like a Levi, even though his father is not a Levi. Why? Because it's a Peterechem. It all has to do with the mother. It's not clear why. I know the Torah says that Peterechem determines if you're a Bechor. Torah does not say Peterechem determines who is Poter you, especially based on the logic that we have here. Nevertheless, Rashi believes that we've just answered the latter two questions, which is why is Pachot mi ben Chodesh, as well as why is Leviya Poteret, even though they were not exchanged in the Midbar. Whereas according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, we're answering just the latter of the three questions, which is, Why is it a Leviyah is able to be poter? The only question will be is, if the father is a Levi, and then the mother is the Israelite, then what do you say over there? Have we answered that question? So maybe not, according to those Rishonim like Tosafot. The Gemara continues and says, V'aron, shelo yavoto minyan. What about the fact that Aaron, who was not included in that count, what's the din by the Gabe Aaron? So Rashi says, the Gabe Aaron, the question's about lo hu, v'lo behe motav. Not him, and not his animals. So Tosafot asks the question right away. What do you mean, not him? Not him, he's not a Bechor. Aaron's not a Bechor. Aaron was the second. Miriam was the oldest, then Aaron, then Moshe. If that's the case, why do you have to worry about who? Tosafot says it's nothing to do with Aaron himself. It has to do with his behemot. So the question, according to Tosafot, might be a broader question, which is, how are Kohanim poter? Forget about Aaron himself. It's not about Aaron himself, it's about all the Kohanim. The Kohanim themselves, if Aaron wasn't counted in his count, if he has a Bechor, then how would we know that he's patur from Peter Pidjon Bechor? Or how did he have his Bechor exchanged?
It's like the Levim, it's like they exchanged the...
Yeah, but the Kohanim did not. They're not included in the count. The count in Sefer Bamidbar is that there are 22,300 Levim that are from Ben Chodesh Ulamalo, and there's 22,273 Bechorim from Ben Chodesh Ulamalo. Then the 300 get dropped, the Gemara will say, because they were Bechorim themselves. So you have 22,000 Levim, connected to 22,273 Bechorim. Kohanim are not counted in that count. The Tanya, we write the Lamna Kudal Aron, why are there dots above the name of Aron? Shebechumash Kekudim in Bamidbar, Shlo Haya Boto Minyan. To tell you that Aron's not counted amongst those 22,300 Levim, he's not in the count. Well, if he's not in the count, then the whole Kal v'chomer that we just made, Kohanim v'Levim, well, Kohanim weren't in the count, so Kohanim didn't do any of the exchange. So if they didn't do the exchange, how they poter at that zman? Mara's answer in the end is exactly what you asked originally, which is, why don't we just say it? It deals with the whole shevet. It's not dealing with individuals that they can do it, but the shevet functioned this way. So if the shevet functioned this way, then everybody should be included. That's kind of what the Gemara says in the end, which is, Amar Kra ha-Levi'im, v'Levi'im, kukshu kol ha-Levi'im zelazeh. All the Levim are considered to be one category. And that's the Hekesh. The Hekesh is, it doesn't matter if you had a behemah, whether you were poter or not poter. In the end, how the Levim covers everything. To teach you that even though you weren't one of those Levim, because you were younger than a month old, and you weren't included there, nevertheless you are patur because you're in the Shevet that did this exchange. And that's what how the Levim comes to teach us. So Kohanim in Yalan, how do you know that Kohanim are also Paturim? That we didn't deal with yet. So the Gemara answers like we just saw in Chulin, at the end of Chulin, because Kohanim are subsumed under the title of Levim. And one of the examples is Kohanim Levim b'nei Tzadok, that the Kohanim, the Levim, the children of Tzadok. Tzadok was the Kohen Gadol. If he's the Kohen Gadol, why is he being called a Levi? Ella, the Kohanim are also called Levim. So if that's the case, then they are subsumed under this term HaLevim. If they're subsumed under that term, they're also in that Hekesh, that they get the same din as everyone else. Uledorot minolon. How do you know that this doesn't apply in the Midbar? Now you explained to me from the Kal V'Chomer that in the Midbar, those Levim and Kohanim would be Peturim based on that Kal V'Chomer. But the Dorot, how do I know that's true? Amakra. Vayu li ha Levim. It says there in Bamidbar, when it's discussing the fact that Hashem is taking the Levim tachat kol b'chor, Hashem says, Vani lekachti et ha-Levim b'toch b'nei Yisrael, tachat kol b'chor peterechem b'nei Yisrael, vayu li ha-Levim. The Levim will be mine. So the Gemara says, Behaviaton Yehu, that they should remain in their status. Whatever status they gained in the Midbar should remain with them forever. That means, just like they're patur in the Midbar, so too they are patur the Dorot. So the Gemara says, Umimai dibiseh. So how do you know that the seh of the Ben Levi was what was poter? How do you know that they did this exchange? We know that they exchanged in terms of the human beings, because we have the calculation there that they exchanged them. But how do I know that they used the seh to take out ever peter chamor? Rav Chista, nemar kesef ledorot, ben nemar seh ledorot. Just like by the dorot, it says kesef and it says seh in terms of redemption, because it says peter chamor tifteh b'seh, v'lim lov tifteh v'rafto kol b'chor banecha tifteh v'lo yeru v'nai rekam. That's in Parshat Ki Tisa. You see that the Torah requires a pigeon of a peter chamor by a seh, and the pigeon adam ayudei money. So now, just like by dorot, you say kesef le dorot, v'nem etzel le dorot, ma kesef ha'amur le dorot, bo padu le dorot, bo padu lo tosha'a. Just like when it came to the dorot, when we talk about the kesef pidjon, it worked in the fact that it works le dorot. It also worked in that generation, because even though we had 22,000 levim, 22,273 bechorim. So the 22,000 took out the 22,000, but you had an excess 273 bechorim that didn't have a levy. So they had to pay up. That excess amount had to pay 5 shekel, the gulgolot b'shekel HaKodesh. They do a lottery to see which of those 273, and that each bechor paid out on those 273, paid out the 5 shekelim. So based on that, you know that the dorot, the pidyon bechor, happens through money. You know that the sha'ah, that's the same way they did it. So too, now we'll connect to the hekesh. Afseh, ha'amor the dorot, just like the seh is podeh, the petar ha'amor the dorot, so we'll make the same conclusion, just like that they use that l'dorot, so too they use that b'oto sha'a. So we know the dorot that they use money and they use the sef for petar chamor. We know b'sha'a that they use money. We might saying just like by l'dorot, money worked the same way. So too sef should work the same way, and therefore we would conclude that they use the sef in the midbar. Mar says, how can you say that? Mala kesef. Kesef functions differently. Kesef has broader application. Shekain, podin bohek deshot, umayser sheni. Because you can use kesef, you can use money to be podeh other things. Money's not just used for pidyon haben, it's used for pidyon kodoshim, pidyon mayser sheni. All these things in the parsha and the vayikra tell you that you can do pidyon, ayideh kesef. Seh only works to be podeh petra chamor. It doesn't function any other way. The Tosafot would ask, what are you talking about? You can be podeh hekdeshot ayideh seh. You can use a seh to be podeh hekdesh. It says it's different. There's an important distinction, which is that if you use a seh to be podeh hekdesh, you have something in the land that is kadosh and you want to redeem it, and you bring a seh to pay for the land, that works. But how's it working? It's working like kesef. Shove kesef. You evaluate the value of that seh, and you say, that value I'm exchanging it for. It's shavah kesef, kid kesef. That's not true by petar chamor. But petar chamor, the value of the seh is irrelevant. If the seh is not worth as much as the chamor, it can still exchange the chamor. It's seh, qua seh, that's able to exchange the chamor. Not because of its value. Now, if you don't have a seh, and you want to redeem the petar chamor, you got to pay the full value. But if you use a seh, you don't have to connect with values. That's the difference. By Kedosh, you can use seh, but you're using it functioning like kesef. But when you use it with petar chamor, you're using it as functioning as an entity called seh, which is able to redeem the petar chamor. So that you don't have. So El Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, in Bamidbar, in Perek Yudchet, Parshat Korach, when it discusses the Matnot Kuna, Kol petar rechem l'chol basar sheyakriv l'Hashem ba'adam b'vayma yelach, ach padot tivdeh b'chor adam et b'chor b'yma atmeya tivdeh. So here you have a hekesh between the pidyon of the Bechor Adam, between the pidyon of the Bechor Behema Tmeya. So that hekesh teaches us, ma Bechor Adam lo chalakta ben dorot lo toshah, bekesef. Just like when it comes to Bechor Adam, you didn't distinguish between using kesef, pidyon kesef, l'sha'ah, and pidyon kesef l'dorot, ap behema tmeya lo tachlok bo ben l'dorot ben lo toshah, b'seh. So therefore, in that time, you'd also use seh. So now Rabbi Chanina makes a statement, and this is where we ran into the problem I mentioned before. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Se echad shel ben Levi patar kama pitrei chamorim b'Yisrael. One set of a ben Levi was able to cover multiple pitrei chamorim of the Israel. It wasn't one for one. It wasn't a one for one deal. So now I'm Rabbi Yeteda. Shrei mana ketuv odfim ba'adam. It's pretty simple. The Torah does a calculation of how many Bechorim there were versus how many Bnei Levi there were in order to figure out what was the excess. Nobody makes that calculation with regards to the Behemot. That's an indication that the Torah is not interested in the matter, in the numbers. Just one said, took care of everything, so you don't have to worry about it. And where it says, why do you have to say that? Mamai, Dilma lo habin nefishi lehu Behemot tuva. How do you know that Bnei Yisrael had so many behemot? Remember, it's all the pshutim. Every behema of the Levi functions to exchange. It's only the bechorim of the behemot Yisrael that need to be exchanged. So it's possible that there were just so many behemot Levim that they took care of the bechorim. Therefore, you didn't even have to make a calculation. It was very easy to see that. So when I says, losakadat, well, you would never think that, dichtiv. Umikne rav haya the Bnei Ruvain the Bnei Gad. Because it says, Bnei Ruvain and Bnei Gad had tremendous flocks. Bnei Israel must have had an excess of what Levim, just in Bechorim, they had an excess. Now, this is where the question arises. All that you proved to me from Mikne rav haya the Bnei Ruvain and Bnei Gad was that they had a lot of animals. How do you know that they were chamorim? The chamor is not mentioned here. And so for this reason, Rashi mentions it as well. And I told you, Tosafot in the previous amud suggests, that when we talk about the exchange here, the exchange was not just for the petar chamor, it was for the behemot tehorot as well. There are other rishonim.
Oh,
very good. Very good. So that's the way the other Rishonim deal with it, and that is, look, Mikneh Rab means they had a lot. But generally Mikneh refers to cattle and to tzon, bakar and tzon. But over here, you have to say what you're suggesting. Mikneh Rab includes a lot of chamorim. If there are a lot of chamorim, there must have been a lot of peter chamor as well. So that would be the other Rishonim who believe that this exchange only happened for peter chamor. It did not happen for Behemah Torah. But we know that that's what Tosfot quotes in the previous Amud. He suggests that the din here would be Patur echad shel ben Levi b'midbar kama b'chorot de Torah shel Yisrael no lohag el ba'oto sha'ah. That only happened in that time, because we quoted the Mishnah later on that the ben Levi is not patur. Levi is not patur from Behema Torah. So that only worked at that time. Vein lahem pijon elo yesh ben kedushat aguf. Today you can't do that, and that's what I explained. The difference between a Behema Torah and a Behema Tmeah and a pijon adam is that pijon adam, Ben Bechor, Pijon Bechor, as well as Pijon of a Petar Chamor, we're dealing with monetary Kedusha, and that you exchange for money. When you're talking about a Behemah Torah, it has Kedusha Taguf to end up on a Mizveach. That you can't say that they're Patur from. That you can't say they exchanged out and they're not Chayavet. So Tosfot says, even when he says that the Ben Levi in the Midbar exchanged it, that was Ve'oto Sha'a. That worked then. Because then it wasn't a Kedusha Mizveach, it was just Kedusha Damim as well. But from then onward, everybody agrees that Behemah Torah, the Levi is not patur from, because it has Kedushat Aguf. As well as Rashi on our Amud says, when it talks about the Mikneh Rav, Teda Shlo Nimnu B'chorei Behemat Yisrael. The Rashi over here, it says, B'chorei Behemat Yisrael. What does this have to do with B'chorat Behemat Yisrael? We're talking about Peter Chamor. So he could say that he meant that. But it sounds like from Rashi, he's saying the same thing as Tosafot, that he's talking about all the Behemot. But again, you can read it more narrowly, that it's talking about a Peter Chamor. The Gemara says, Duma, afilu achi, even so, pshutim de levim, abu kaime, ade bechor Yisrael. So maybe, even though there was a Mikneh Rav, ayud bnei ruvin of God, maybe the levim had basic behemot that exceeded the peter chamor, according to those that say it, or that exceeded the behemot of the Torot, habechorim of bnei Yisrael. We have no proof from the logic that Rabbi Chanina is right. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove it from the pasuk itself. Samakara, the pasuk says, and now this pasuk, this limud is somewhat difficult, but we'll go with the Gemara's understanding of the pasuk, which is pasuk mem aleph in Bamidbar Gimel says lakachta levim li'ani Hashem tachat kol bechor b'nei Yisrael. That we understood. Then behemat halevim tachat kol bechor behemat b'nei Yisrael. And later on in pasuk mem hey it says kachta levim tachat kol bechor b'nei Yisrael behemat halevim tachat behem tam. But the word behemat halavim versus behem tam. In the first pasuk it says behemat halavim tachat behemat bnei Yisrael uses the same term for behemah. Yet in the second pasuk when it says kach halavim tachat kol bechor bnei Yisrael it says behemat halavim tachat behem tam. So now the Gemara is going to darshan that. Amar Kra bet behemat halavim tachat behem tam behemachat tachat behemot harbei. The Gemara is suggesting over here that the word behemat versus behemtam has some meaning in terms of singular versus plural. Grammatically, that's not true. Behemat is nismach. Behemat means behemah, shell. And then behemtam is also just nismach in the plural, but it's shelahem. It's behemah, shelahem. I mean that if you wanted to say in plural, you would say behemotahem. You would have said, but you would have to have the word behemah in plural plus the adjunct for being shelahem. Fact is, the Torah doesn't seem to do that. The Gemara says behemat, which is behemah shel, and this is behemtam, which is behemah shelahem. And it should have said behemotahem, but it had to have to do something with the word behemah in order to make it pluralize it, which is not the case here. But the Gemara reads it that way anywhere. Behemachah tachat behemotarbeh. And the Gemara says behemah behemah rabah. The word behemah is used sometimes like the word fish. The word fish is both the singular for fish and plural. Well, the Torah uses the word behemah as well in that way. It uses behemah as a singular animal, but also uses behemah to refer to large tracts of animals, which is behemah rabah. Im kein lechtov kra, o behemah tachat behemah, o behem tam tachat behem tam. My behemat tachat behem tam. Why did the lashon of the Torah switch? Shema mina, chad patar tuva. Again, grammatically, it's very difficult. All it did was eliminate. If you look at the two psukim, the first pasuk says, ved behemat elevim tachat kol bechor Behemat bnei Yisrael. So over there it used the nismach for both of them, Behemat Levim and Behemat bnei Yisrael. In the second pasuk it says Behemat Levim, so it uses the nismach again, Tachat Behem Tam. What it did was instead of saying Behemat Yisrael in the second one, it just said Behem Tam. So if using the same nismach and the same singular form, just eliminated the word B'nai Yisrael from the Torah. B'nai Yisrael, they replaced with Shelahem. So grammatically, again, it doesn't work so well. Maybe they're doing a Kri and a Ktiv, which is that you could have read it. If you read the Behemtam, it could have been Behemotam, which would have made it plural. Although truthfully, again, grammatically, it should be Behemotehem, which would end in a Hey. So the Gemara just says, because it was shone belushono, that's enough to indicate to us that one exchanged to many. Okay, so Amarov, Afanamenametanina. We also have a Tanaic work, a mission that says, Pode bo pamim harbe. You're allowed to use a petar, you're allowed to use a seh multiple times. Now wait a minute, Rabbi Chanina, time of the Madita Mefarish. So what do you mean? Rabbi Chanina is coming to explain the Mishnah? My time of Pode bo pamim harbe. Why is it that one can do it? Shum de sechad, shum ben levi, poter, kama pitri chomim, shal Israel. That's why it functions that way. What that means is very interesting. Rashi says, in the Mishnah coming up that we say this, what does it mean that you can use one seh to take out many petar chamors? What happens when you take the seh and you say, this is in exchange for my petar chamor? Who does the seh belong to now? It belongs to the Kohen. I mean, once you've exchanged it, with the Petar Chamor, the Seh belongs to the Kohen. How can you go use that Seh again to redeem another Petar Chamor? It doesn't work. So Rashi says that the case over there is, Shim Chazar B'Kano Miyad HaKohen. If he took it back from the Kohen, L'Achash Nat Nolo, he gave it to the Kohen, and the Kohen gives it back to him. You can use it again. And then if you do it again and again and again, if the Kohen keeps giving you back the Seh, you can use it multiple times. That's what Rashi says. Tosafot says, I don't understand that. Perishu Kuntris, that's how it's done. But what type of chiddush is that? Of course, if it's your money, you can do whatever you want with it every time. But the Rabbeinu Tam said, Mefarish da safekai. It's a case where you have a safek. Uf a safek zesh lo yitzei miyado. When you have a safek, and you have a safek petar chamor. Safek petar chamor, you exchange it onto a seh to take away the problem of the petar chamor, having to do a rifa by the chamor, but you keep the seh. Because the kohen can't demand it from me. It's mostly mechavera or lover. He can't prove that you're chayav to give it to him. So therefore, you keep the seh. When you keep that seh, you can use it again to be podeh another safek. You can use the seh to be podeh multiple sfekot because you never give up ownership of it. You never give it to the kohen. Each case, it's a safek, and then you retain ownership over it. So that's it. Avo vaday lo efshar lemeimar podeh v'chuzer podeh. By something that's a vaday, you can't say kol shmon shebayad Yisrael v'lo natan. As long as you have it and you didn't give it up, it's not yours. It's the kohen's. Until you give it to the kohen, it's the kohen's and you can't do anything with it. If the kohen wants to give it back to you, yeah, fine. That's what Rashi said. But that doesn't seem to be the pashtut of the Mishnah. The pashtut of the Mishnah is you can use one set over and over and over again, period. So the Rabbeinu Tam is talking about a case of safek. They have a safek petar chamor. You redeemed the set. You can use that set over and over again for its other safekot. That's what he says. It was safek zesh. That you'll have to use it multiple times. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads that. Okay, Itmar. Now we have a machlokeh between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It'll take us all the way into tomorrow's daf. We'll do the first version of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and then we'll mention what the Gemara's conclusion is, and then we'll leave that for tomorrow. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kichu Bechorot Bamidbar. Bechorot were kadosh in the Midbar. Reish Lakish Amar, Lo Kichu Bechorot Bamidbar. The Bechorot in the Midbar were not kadosh. They argue in the Pasuk. How do we know this? Because Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kichu Bechorot Bamidbar, because in Parshat Bo it says, Darchman Amar, the Kachod Echtiv Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Pretty straightforward. It says, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Petukum Rechim Ibn Yisrael, Badam Vema Lihu. There's no qualification of who. It's period. All Bechorim are Kadosh. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, wait a minute, you forgot the next Parsha. These are the Parshiot HaTfilin. Parshiot HaTfilin is Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, and the next Parsha HaTfilin is Hayaki V'Yacha. Oh. That's exactly what it says. Then only after you come into Eretz Yisrael will you do the Pidyon Bechor. That's what Rizokish says. Rizokish Amar, Lo Kichu Bechor B'Mar, Nechtiv, Ayak Yaviyacha. Nechtiv Batrei, Vavata Michlau, Demikara Lo Kadosh. That until the point that they entered Eretz Yisrael, they're not Kadosh. So each one has one of the two prokim that are found in our Tfilin. One uses Kadesh Li, one uses Vavya Kaviyacha, and each one says what they say. Rabbi Yochanan says it seems to be there's no qualification by Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Rabbi Yishlaki says there's a second parsha does say there is a qualification, Vavya Kaviyacha, when you reach Eretz Yisrael. So Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan on the Reish Lakish. Ad Shalohu Kama Mishkan Hayu Bamot Mutarot Va'avudah Bibichorot. Until the Mishkan is set up, then the Bamot were Mutar, and the Avodah was Bibichorot. So what about, which Bechorot are we talking about? Sounds like the Bechorot in the Midbar. So, hey, Ba'otan Sheyatzu Mitzrayim. Reish Lakish says, what do you mean, Bechorot? The Bechorot were already Kadosh in Mitzrayim. So he agrees that in Mitzrayim the Bechorim were Kadosh, because of what happened, what transpired in Mid, when Hashem killed all the Bechorot in Mitzrayim, all the residual Jewish Bechorot became kadosh. But once they enter the midbar, no more bechor. But those bechorot that are mitzvah kadosh could do the avodah and the bamot, so the mishkan was put up. That makes a lot of sense. Wait a minute. How long was it before they put up the mishkan? Mishkan is put up after a year of being in the midbar. So what are you going to suggest? That there was a bechor born in the midbar that was doing avodah? Any bechor born in the midbar was no more than 1 year old when they put up the mishkan. So he's not a bar avodah. Udkari law, makari law. So what was Rabbi Yochanan thinking in the first place when he asked the question? Of course it's not like, so achi kakashule, this is what he says. Iyamar bishlamot lo posik kedushutayu. If you say that the Bechorot in the Midbar are Kadosh, then the Bechorim that left Mitzrayim should also be remain Kadosh, meaning that their Kedusha shouldn't dissipate, shouldn't dissolve. That those in the Midbar, born in the Midbar, do not have Kedushat Bechor. Those that were Bechorim in Mitzrayim, their Kedusha should also be dissolved. It should go away. And Reish Lakish is going to say very simply, the Kadosh, Kadosh. If you're already kadosh, you retain your kedusha. The lo kadosh. If you are not kadosh, lo kadosh. Then you don't get. You can't attain new kedusha in the midbar. But anybody who did have kedusha, it remains with them when they enter into the midbar.
So what's the malachim? It's only those that were born in the midbar.
Correct.
That's yeah.
Right. Mitzrayim, everybody agrees. It's just in the midbar. Rabbi Yochanan saying, according to you, Reish Lakish says nobody was kadosh in the midbar. That those in Mitzrayim should also dissipate. It should go away. I don't hold that way. I hold that the Bechorim and the Midbar were Kadosh. So I don't have that problem. Shlaka says you can distinguish between them. Who says you have to say just because new Bechorim are not Kadosh doesn't mean that the old ones lose their Kedusha. Now the Gemara brings Eitavei, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Oto Ayom Shukama Mishkan, Gevru Lahem Yisrael Nedarim Nevot Chataot Hashemot Bechorot Umasrot. So on that day, they brought Israel in the Midbar, all the Nedarim Nevot Chataot Hashemot Bechorot Umasrot. So what do you mean Bechorot? Where do they have Bechorot from that they're bringing on the first day of the Mishkan? They're trying to bring in these Bechorot. Where did they get them from? Must have been that they were born in the Midbar. And they were bringing them on the Mizbeach. So Reish Lakish is going to answer again. Hachinami, Botan, Sheyotzu, Mimitzrayim. Also, Bechor, Behema, Torah, that left Mitzrayim, those are the ones that they're placing on the Mizbeach. Umina. Yeah, Seder Olam Rabbah. The Gemara is very connected to Seder Olam Rabbah. It's a Tanaic work. According to the Gemara, it was written by Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalapto, Seder Olam Rabbah. And the Gemara in places, other places, asks questions, and says, Mantana, the Seder Olam Rabbah. The Gemara asks explicitly, who was the Tana that wrote it? And they say, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalapto. And we know about Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalapto that he was Tamo Bini Miko Imo. That the Gemara thinks that he's very exact. And the Gemara bases a lot of their calculations. Whenever it does calculations in terms of years and times, it's Sonech on Seder Olam Rabbah. Here, so now they're quoting something. Here it seems to be that they're quoting like a braita, but it is from Seder Olam Rabbah that on that day they brought the Bechorot on the day of the Hakamat Mishkan. So now Umina. And then Reish Lakish turns it around and makes it into question of Rabbi Yochanan. Oto Ayomu de Karov. Ah, it says on that day itself that they brought the Mikan Ve'elech Lo Karov. Sounds like they only brought the Bechorot on that day. Why? Because those who were Bechorot left out from Mitzrayim. How come only on that day? What about the rest of the Midbar? How come they didn't have to bring them? Because there were no more Bechorot according to Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, why only on that day? So Yigad Amre, and some say that he asked it straight out. Eitri Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Oto Yom Shukam Mishkan, Kivu Lo Yom Yisron, Nedarim, Nedavot, Chatot, Hashemot, Bechorot, Masrot, Oto Yom In, Bekam Ayach Lo, Ema Mi Oto Yom Ve'elech. Read it, Oto Yom means that day and onward. Okay, great. I mean, of course. What's the question? That only from that day, not beforehand. Why? Because Alma Chovot Bibama Lo Karu. Because at that point in time, they only had a Bama. And on a Bama, you can only bring the Darim and the Devot. But that means that the problems of Masrot and Bechorot, which are Chovot that need to be brought in the Mizbeach, they can only be brought when the Mishkan is there. And that's why it's only Mioto Yom they left to teach you that Din. So Tashma. There are three locations where the Bechorim became Kadosh. B'Mitzrayim, which everybody agrees about. B'Midbar, well, that sounds like Rabbi Yochanan. U'B'Knisatan, the Israel. The Aretz, when they entered in Eretz Yisrael. B'Mitzrayim, Ma'omer. In Mitzrayim it says, Kadosh li kol Bechor. B'Midbar, who Ma'omer. What does it say in the Midbar? This is in B'Midbar. In exchange for Levim, it says, Ki li kol Bechor b'Bnei Yisrael. The reason that I have to exchange them is because li kol Bechor b'Yom HaKoti kol Bechor b'Eretz Mitzrayim. Kachu li kol Bechor b'Yisrael Adam v'Yema li yu ani Hashem. There is in B'Midbar Gimel, then in B'Midbar Chet, it says, Ki li kol Bechor b'Bnei Yisrael. Adam v'Yema b'Yom HaKoti kol Bechor b'Eretz Mitzrayim.
Why? Because of Mitzrayim.
Well, it says because of Mitzrayim, but it doesn't mean they were in Mitzrayim. All right, we'll see in a second. K'nisatan la'aretz Ma'omer v'Yakiv Yacha. Vavarta. So Hamar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mishlosha Mekomot, Huzhuru ala Bechorot, Dikadesh, Velo Kidshu, It doesn't mean, it's not telling you where they are kadosh. It's telling you in these three places you have to deal with the kedushat ha-bechor. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, with Mitzrayim, nami lo kadosh? What do you mean? Now, you're suggesting that the only time that they were kadosh is vayakav yacha. But they are telling you that in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar you have to deal with it. Ha-kamrina, the kadosh. Ha-kamar. Mehen kichu, mehen lo kichu. It's not saying here that none of these were kadosh. No, some of them are kadosh, some of them are not kadosh. In Mitzrayim, they are kadosh. In Eretz Yisrael, they are kadosh. In the Midbar, they're not kadosh, but you have to worry about the kedusha of the Bechorim, those that left Mitzrayim. So it's not coming to make a definitive statement that in these three places, there were Bechorim that became kadosh. It's telling you that in these three places, you have to deal with the fact that there are Bechorim that are kadosh. Two of them, Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, they actually could be makdish them. But in terms of the Midbar, it's only about worrying about the kedusha of Bechor. So Matkib Dabra Papa, Midbar Lo Kichu. It wasn't the case that in the Midbar they were kadosh, v'aktiv. Pakod, kol Bechor Zachar, divnei Yisrael. It says, when it comes to the counting of the Bechorim, it says, count all the Bechorim of Bnei Yisrael. Well, what was the count of the Bechorim of Yisrael? Where did it start? At what age did it start from? Ben Chodesh, Olamala. When was this? Bamidbar Perek Gimel, Bamidbar Perek Chet is in the second year in the Midbar. If you're counting Bechorim from Ben Chodesh Olam Allah, he was born in the Midbar and is being put into the count of Bechorim that are Kadosh. It's a slam dunk rayo that Rabbi Yochanan's right. But Itmar Hachi Itmar. Now the Gemara has to amend their positions because it's clear that Reish Lakish can't hold that we're not Kadosh in the Midbar because the Kod Moshe Kasher Tzimet Tovet Kol Bechor B'Bnei Yisrael V'Yum Kol Bechor Zachar V'Mispar Shem Hope Ben Chodesh Olam Allah. That is from Ben Chodesh upward. So they amend it to read like this. The Midbar, they became Kadosh, and they remained Kadosh. They became Kadosh, but after the exchange with the Leviim, there was no more Bechor. Paskul, that was it. It stopped. There was no more Kedushat Bechor. Alright, I'm gonna stop here, because the Gemara continues down pretty far into the Yomud here. I'm just giving you the amended Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's a very interesting Tosafot here. The last Tosafot on the Yomud is very interesting. We just had before, we had the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the Gemara said, Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish a question. That says, Eitvei Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. In the end, the Gemara says, that's not what they said. The Gemara says that their positions are not exactly what we thought. Yet, we here have a conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish asking questions about those positions. So how do you deal with that? So Tosafot says over here, the maskana zulo ne'ma, no nemru hani tiyufta deleo. Based on this maskana that we changed the position of Reish Lakish and Yochanan, these questions were never asked. What do you mean? We just quoted them from Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish. What does that tell you? That tells you that many times when the Gemara is writing, it's not true that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were talking. It wasn't that Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish the question. The Gemara thinks this is a question that Rabbi Yochanan should have asked Reish Lakish. And they place it in their names. They argue as if it's their position. Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish. Not that Rabbi Yochanan did, but Rabbi Yochanan in his position should ask this. And that's very important in terms of structure of the Gemara, that many times when we see these conversations, that maybe the conversations are being imposed, right, they're being imposed by the Gemara based on their positions. Because otherwise, how do you explain? Now when we amend the positions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how do you explain the conversations that they had before? It's obvious that they didn't have those conversations. It was the Gemara imposing those conversations into the positions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. A very, very fundamental Tosfot in terms of understanding the format and the structure of the Gemara. Yeah, he brings other examples. It's not the only place that this happens. All right, we'll stop over here.